I want to preach this morning on this theme that it ends with me. It ends with me. You know, the Lord is teaching us in a way here that there is a cycle to violence, to retribution, to anger, to conflict and war. There's a cycle to it. And what the Lord is saying to us is, I want you to break that cycle. I want the cycle to end with you. It's almost as though, well, just imagine with me a moment, you know, you say something against me, and I return the slight, and I put it to the second power. You feel that I've gone too far, and you take it to the third power, and now we've really gone too far, and we come to blows. And Satan is just rubbing his hands together, saying, I've got two victims out of the price for the price of one. Satan sends someone to vex you in spirit, and they succeed, and now Satan has not only tempted one, but two for the price of one. And the Lord says, listen, let it end with you. Let it end. So the theme today of this sermon is, it ends with me. Now, of course, as we look at these antitheses, and they're called antitheses because they're all formulated like this. The Lord says, you have heard that it was said, and then he quotes a law, but I say to you. So it's called an antithesis. You've heard that it was said, but I say to you. And we're in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, and I reviewed with you last week that we have to be careful to understand the Sermon on the Mount, that it's not so much that the Lord is prescribing things for us, but rather he is describing things for us. He's describing rather than prescribing. He is saying, listen, when I begin to live my life in you, this is what's going to happen to you. You're not going to be so angry and so vengeful and so bitter. You're not going to need to seek retribution. You're even going to love your enemy. See, the Lord is describing a transformed human person. Someone who is receiving a new mind and a new heart. The Lord isn't just saying, stop being so angry, because that's going to last 10 seconds, man, you know? I mean, if it's going to depend on your flesh or my flesh to be less angry or less hurt when somebody slights me, if it's going to depend on my flesh, it's going to last about 5 minutes max. And I'm right back in the soup. Our flesh can't do this. But the Lord is saying, listen, when I'm living in you by the power of my grace and my Holy Spirit, living in you like a temple, as we heard today in the second reading, when that begins to happen, you're going to begin to experience a lot of the anger, the get-back attitudes, and all that stuff begins to go away. It just dissipates. And so it is we have this remarkable passage where the Lord is saying, listen, I can give you a new mind and a new heart. You'll see things differently. Your heart won't be so easily wounded. Or you won't feel so easily slighted. You know, someone says, well, they really pushed my buttons, Father. And the Lord says, well, listen, don't give them the buttons. I've come to take away the buttons, you know? So again, the Lord is saying, listen, let me give you this gift so that the cycle can end with you. The cycle that escalates and constantly gets worse and worse. So let's look at some of the details then of this gospel. Remember, we're in the middle of a long sermon that the Lord is preaching. You know, you think my sermons are long, but this sermon of Jesus goes on for 3 chapters. of Matthew. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Some of us went to the Mount of the Beatitudes where the Lord preached this sermon, and we were there, and we read from the sermon there. Now listen, it says here, you've heard that it was said to you, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Now there is some critique of this that I occasionally hear, that this is called the law of revenge. It is not really a law of revenge at all. It's not so much approving of revenge, but it's saying that revenge has to be limited. You knock out my tooth, I'm only allowed to knock out one of your teeth. I know it sounds absurd, but understand that if you knock out my tooth, I might be tempted to take out your whole upper jaw. I mean, and the scripture warns that if there is vengeance to be sought, it must be measured, that the punishment must fit the crime, that we are not permitted to simply continue to ramp up revenge. So what the law was trying to do before the era of grace is, look, put some limits on your anger. Notice the text doesn't even suggest to us that we can really utterly be free of this. It just says, if you're going to be angry and seek retribution, make sure that it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth. If you take and kill one of my cows, then I can't wipe out your whole flock. You get the idea, right? If you take one of my eyes, I can only take one of yours. You know what Dr. King said about that, amen? In a land of eye for eye, we have a land full of blind people, amen? Lord have mercy. We need more than eye for eye here. We need some mercy down here, amen? Now, the text, therefore, he quotes simply the sort of the norm of the day. He says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I'm telling you this, that when I start to live my life in you, I start to give you a new mind and a new heart, I'm saying that you won't need to offer any resistance at all to someone who is evil. Now, we need to be careful with this text, and I won't go on and on about all the exceptions, but listen, I want you to be clear about something. The Lord is saying we've got to stop all this getting back. That's really the main point. Some people want to go on and ask all kinds of questions. When he says here, offer no resistance to one who is evil, does that mean that we can't have an army that protects us? Does that mean that we can't have police officers who protect us? You know, it seems to suggest that we should, quote, offer no resistance to someone who is evil. But listen, this text is being addressed to you and me as individuals. And there is legitimate self-defense. If someone is coming at you with an axe, it's okay to duck. The Lord is not being absurd here, all right? I'm not supposed to offer any resistance to someone who's evil. And here they come at me with a long knife. And here it is, just broaden the target. No way. You know, it's all right to duck. Now, the Lord is going to go on to give us four examples of what he means here. And they're all examples about our personal dignity. They're not so much examples about someone physically attacking me, but they are examples of someone who attacks my dignity, who calls me everything but a child of God. And so the Lord is speaking, first of all, to us as individuals. We could get into long discussions about war and peace and legitimate self-defense, but we might miss the point. That's a discussion for some other aspects of Scripture that I'm not going to bring in today. But what the Lord is really asking you and me is, look, you don't have to get back at everybody who slights you. You don't have to seek revenge for everyone who harms you. You don't have to do that. And when I give you a new heart, you won't need to do it. You won't even want to do it. You'll let a lot of the stuff just pass you by. In fact, you won't even have to notice it when people are doing it. They're trying to push your buttons, but I've taken them all away. So let's take a look at the four examples that the Lord gives here about offering no resistance. Now, the first one does strike us, if you pardon the expression, as a physical attack, but it really isn't. Listen carefully to what the Lord says. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one as well. Now, this is technically a physical attack, yes. But even in our culture, we don't have a lot of this, thank God, but if someone strikes you on the cheek, it's not so much that, oh, I've been physically harmed. That's not our biggest concern. To be struck on the cheek is to be, our dignity has been assaulted. Amen? It's about our dignity. I'm not horrified. Oh my gosh, I might die from this attack. Someone has struck me on my cheek. You know that it's not really, that's not our main concern, is it? It's about our dignity. And here's what the Lord says, and follow carefully. It's very picturesque. The Lord says that, now in that culture, they always struck with the right hand. And to be struck on the right cheek with the right hand means you're struck with the inside of the fingers. All right. The Lord says, look, man, that's an indignity. But listen, don't worry about your dignity. My dignity. My dignity. The Lord says, turn and offer the other cheek. And here's what happens. When you offer the other cheek, the person does something even worse. They strike you with the back of their hand. Are you praying with me, church? That's an even worse indignity. They're not just stabbing you in your back, they're stabbing you in your front. And the Lord is basically saying, look, you don't need to worry about your dignity. I've taken care of that. Are you praying with me, church? You don't need to worry about your dignity. I have taken care of that. Why do you worry about what some human being has said about you? I am God, and I have said, I love you, and I died for you. Why do you need to worry about someone else calling you some kind of a name or out of your name? The dignity that you have was not given to you by the world, and the world cannot take it away. Amen. Therefore, he is saying to us, when someone comes at you and strikes you on the cheek, in other words, assaults your dignity, understand something. They have no authority over you. They cannot label you or name you. I have done that. I've called you my son, my daughter. So in a way, the buttons are taken away, aren't they? No one can push our buttons there. And again, I promise you now, church, if that's going to depend on our flesh, the buttons are still going to be there all over the place. But again, the Lord is saying, do you understand something? When I start to live my life in you, you're not going to worry about all this stuff, because you're going to be deeply imbued with a sense of your dignity and your worth. And as the scripture said here in the first text, we may at times have to rebuke our brother, but not to incur sin on account of it. We may have to sometimes correct a brother or a sister when they use racial slurs or when they have bigoted attitudes. We may need to correct, but not out of anger or out of my dignity. Then we start putting it up to the second power. Not only are you wrong, but you're a blankety 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 blank. So this text is not saying there is never a time to speak up against attacks on the dignity of human beings. But we don't need to do it because we're angry and furious and bitter and want to get back. We do it out of a new heart that loves our brother or sister and doesn't want them to incur sin on account of their bad attitude. So you see the vision here, right? And the Lord can give us this new heart and this new mind. The Lord goes on to say here, if someone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Now, we don't know what tunics and cloaks are, but if someone wants to go to law over your shirt, hand him your jacket too, all right? Okay. Now, look, what the Lord is really getting at here is that we kind of have this territorial sense of things sometimes. What are you sitting at my desk for? What are you, my things, my stuff? The Lord says, man, when I come to live in you, you're going to have a generous heart, and you're already going to be sharing, and you're going to be generous, and you're not going to be all bent out of shape when someone comes to you and says, let me borrow something, let me do this. The Lord is saying, look, you're already going to be generous, you're already sharing. You already know that nothing really belongs to you, it all belongs to me, and you're not going to be all bent out of shape. Now, here again, there may be times where we do have to protect our assets. If someone breaks into your house and says, I'm taking over, you don't have to hand them the car keys, too. But the Lord is saying to us, look, we're often too uptight about my stuff, my territory, my things. The Lord says, look, lighten up a little. Just be generous and share. When I give you a new heart and a new mind, you're not going to be all that uptight about your things, your material possessions. There's something that you have and you make use of, and you may need to protect and keep properly in order. But in the end, you're going to do that out of generosity and out of love. And when someone does transgress, you'll correct them gently and say, well, look, I really need this for another purpose, and I can't offer this to you right now, but maybe we can take care of you in some other way, you see. But we're not going to be all bent out of shape is the point. You get the vision? It's the bent out of shape stuff that the Lord's getting at here. You have asked me to do this? How dare you, yes. And the Lord says, look, I want to give you a generous heart. See, you're not going to have a possessive quality about everything. You see the vision? What a new heart the Lord wants to give us here, right? And a new mind that sees things differently. That everything really belongs to God, and God wants everyone to be able to enjoy the goods he's given, and so I'm just more generous and less territorial and less possessive, less bent out of shape when someone asks to share. Now, the text goes on to say here something very similar. It says, well, actually, I'll do one and I'll backtrack and get the fourth one. But it says, give to someone who asks from you. Don't turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. Now, here too, lots of things go through our mind. All of us know that it's not always appropriate to just hand money to someone because they ask. Sometimes that's like giving them poison, isn't it? Here, go kill yourself with this money. I know you're going to buy drugs, and I know you're going to go get high or get stinking drunk. And we know that that's not really a good idea, isn't it? See? But again, the Lord is not so much trying to render a decision on every technical question about when we should give and when we shouldn't. But he's saying, listen, have a generous heart. By just your whole disposition is going to be generous. And you're not bent out of shape when somebody asks you for a little help. You know what happens to some of us? You know, we're walking up the street and we start to see that poor beggar looking to us and beginning to angle for us, and we just, you know, and we're angry and we're like, go away, leave me alone. And the Lord is saying, when I start to live my life in you, you're going to love the poor. You're going to love them. And you may not always be able to help them. But your general disposition is, I want to help. It's okay for you to ask. You know, people, we sometimes get angry when people just ask us a question. And sometimes we have to have the courage to say no. But it's not wrong for them to ask. And when we have a generous heart, all the anger and the go away and leave me alone and all that stuff begins to just melt away. And you know, I'm really sorry I can't help you today. Listen, can we pray together? Could you and I just say a prayer together? You know, or I don't think it's good for me to give you cash. Can I go over here and buy you a sandwich? Or, listen, I contribute to the shelter over here. Maybe we can find you some help here. But something, you know, love them. And the Lord says, I can do that for you, you see. So you're really going to love the poor. And you're not always going to necessarily give them the money. Not because I don't want to, but because I love you and I don't want you to be harmed by it. Let's find some other way to help you. And so we don't have to keep escalating and getting angry and jump into camps and say, how dare people ask me for money? And we don't have to do all that, see? The Lord has given us a new heart. We don't even want to do that. And then the Lord says here, look, if anyone wants to press you into service for 1 mile, go with them too. What are you asking me to do? How dare you? Now, in the ancient world, a Roman soldier go up to any male Jewish person and say, you're going to carry my knapsack for 1,000 paces, a mile. And he had to do it. And it was a great indignity. You understand, we're back to the question of dignity, aren't we? Now, it doesn't seem fair, does it? And it isn't. But the Lord is saying, look, I don't want to get into all the discussion about the politics of it. I just want you to know you don't have to be all bent out of shape when people come and ask you to do something. How dare you ask me? Go ask somebody else. You know, I'm already so busy. You may have heard that expression before. If you want to get something done, find somebody who's busy. Because busy people have a way of getting things done, amen? Look out, if you're busy, man, there's going to be someone else that comes at you and said, how about this too? Hello. But it's all right for them to ask. And we're not like the Roman soldier who's forcing it upon us. It's okay to say no, but again, out of love and respect for the person. Not all this escalation and how dare you ask me and just tell somebody else. How come you didn't ask so-and-so? It's not fair that I have to do all this. My dignity, leave me alone. And we start to get angry and we start to escalate and ramp it up. And they just asked us a question. And all of a sudden we're coming back at them with venom. And then they get angry and we get angrier and it escalates. And the Lord is saying, look, all this can end with you. If you let me give you a new mind and a new heart, a heart that's generous, a heart that knows your own dignity, not because somebody else said you're great, but because you know you're great because I said you're great. You don't have to get all heated and anxious about this stuff. You see the vision, church? It's not stop being so angry, start being more generous, start doing more things. And the Lord isn't saying that at all. He's saying, when I give you a new heart, you're going to be kind, respectful. You're not going to worry so much about your dignity. You're not going to be so anxious about your things and your money and your time. And you're going to be just more serene and more relaxed. And all this anger and escalation and fear and bitterness and back and forth, and all that's going to just begin to go away for you. The buttons are gone and people can't just push them. They're gone. Are you praying for this gift? Praise the Lord, church. Listen, it's terrible when it escalates, church. The anger, the bitterness. You know, if someone strikes you on the cheek, you have the right to turn and get them back. You know, we have whole movie, the whole entertainment industry is based on this, isn't it? I mean, you go to the typical adventure movie. You don't have to go to any more of them, because I'm going to tell you how it goes. It goes like this. Some injustice happens at the beginning of the movie. And our hero steps on the scene. And after an hour and a half of killing people and breaking things, our hero restores justice. And there is a burning city behind him. And he walks off the set with the girl in his arms. Roll credits. All right, church, you don't need to go to any more of them, amen? And what is the whole point? You get me, I'll get you to the nth power. Our hero notices the injustice, and by the end of the movie, the whole city is on fire, and hundreds have been killed by our hero. Church, that is not the gospel. Are you clear that that is not the gospel? Listen to what Dr. Martin Luther King said. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies. Violence multiplies. Toughness multiplies. In a descending spiral of destruction, the chain reaction of evil, hate begetting hate, wars begetting wars, this cycle must be broken, or we shall all be plunged into the dark abyss of annihilation. It has to end with us. It's like we're on the football field, church, and the Lord says, I want you to play on my team. And Satan is really moving the ball, and I want you to get out there and move the ball in the other direction. And you're going to move the ball by love. And you're going to move the ball by having a new heart that doesn't keep escalating the violence and the hatred and the bitterness. So the Lord wants us to learn to be more gentle and to receive this gift. And remember, church, it's a gift to receive. Many of us after this Mass are going to go to a luncheon, and we're going to be privileged to hear from the Reverend Barry Black, who is the chaplain of the Senate, and wrote a book, From the Hood to the Hill. And I want to just read you a brief excerpt from that book. And the title of this section of the book is On Gentleness. Pay attention, church, gentleness. I began implementing a tactic of speaking softly after reading Proverbs 15 that teaches that a soft answer turns away anger. I discovered that gently requesting what I desire and responding to boisterous queries with reasoned and soft answers often melts objections and eliminates stalemates. Even in heated domestic discussions, and they can get heated, I have learned that the value of meeting heightened decibels with soft rejoinders is of great value. Also, by not committing prematurely to an opinion, you can change positions without embarrassment. And we dig in our heels too early, man. And now my ego's in it, man, and I gotta stick to my position no matter what. I've always learned far more by listening than by speaking. When I was talking, I already knew what would be said. Amen? But James 1, verse 19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I tried not only to listen, but to ask clarifying questions. Employing one of Stephen Covey's 7 habits of highly effective people, I seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Now you see, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You're not understanding what I mean. Well, I could go on, but you see, this is a very beautiful passage, and I just want you to know, if you haven't bought the book From the Hood to the Hill, you ought to do it, and I got it right here in my Kindle, given to me by the choir. It's right here on my Kindle. All right, amen. But I want you to know that, you see, a lot of wisdom there, right? A lot of wisdom. And it's a very, very powerful, important reminder to us. Now, the Lord goes on to say one final thing in this passage. He says this. You've heard that it was said that you should love your neighbor, but it's okay to hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Oh my, it got real quiet in here, didn't it? Our flesh is not going to do this. Our flesh is easily wounded. Our flesh is angry. Our flesh is fearful. Our flesh wants revenge. Our flesh wants to get back at people who hurt us. Our flesh says that the best way to deal with enemies is to destroy them, and then they won't be around to possibly harm me. That's what our flesh says, our sin nature. The Lord says, listen, I want to give you a new mind and a new heart. And when I do, something astonishing is going to happen to you. A miracle. You are actually going to love people who hate you. You are actually going to have compassion on people who would rather see you gone or destroyed. That takes a lot of grace, amen? But how many of you know that the Lord is still in the miracle working business? And you know, the Lord can really give us a new heart. Listen, often when people come at us with anger, they assault us with bitterness, and I say, oh my gosh, here comes so-and-so, and we know there's trouble. Like a sudden cloud just came over the office when so-and-so walks in, you know? But you know, church, a lot of people who are angry for a reason. Who knows what they've been through? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody but Jesus. Some people are fearful for a reason. Now, church, I'm not excusing their behavior, but I'm just saying there's a part of us that can become more compassionate. Some people are hyper-competitive and bitter and say hateful things and want to cut me down because in their family growing up, that's the only way they could survive. They were never told that they were beautiful. They were never told that they were talented. They had to fight for every square inch they ever had. And their strategy has been to fight and to scrap and to see everyone as a potential competitor and an enemy. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying some people are angry in the way they are because they haven't always been treated well themselves, and they never experienced love. And there's a part of us that can learn to be compassionate and understanding about even very troublesome people. And we begin to develop a love for them, an understanding. We're not excusing their behavior, but we're seeking to understand it. And church, a lot of us act out in anger and in fear because we too have suffered. And we haven't always handled it well, or we haven't always known where to turn for help. And there's a part of us that can learn that there's long stories behind anger or fear or bitterness. There's a long, hurtful, painful trail that often is a cause of it. And then, you know, the other beauty about it, we don't have to take it personally. You know, if someone's angry at me, it may not be about me at all. It may be about what their daddy said to them when they were 4.5 years old. It may be about some very painful chapter in their life. It may be that they're struggling with addiction. It may be any number of things. It may have nothing to do with me. So when they come at me, it may not be about me at all. I don't need to take it personally. And I begin to understand they're in some kind of a struggle. They're in some kind of a grief or a pattern. And I begin to love them and have concern for them rather than, I got to get back at you. It'll destroy you for what you said to me. It's all about me. It's not about me. It may have nothing to do with me. You see what the Lord can do for us? The Lord wants to give us a new heart and a new mind. Aren't you glad that the Lord looked beyond your fault and saw your need? Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was obtuse in my anger and my unchastity, whatever a person might say. But Lord, you understood that I was acting out because of deep wounds in my heart. And you looked beyond my fault and you saw my need. And you didn't give up on me. And you went to a cross and you died for me. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord is saying, look, I can do this for you. And I tell you, when you start to love your enemy like this, and when you start to have compassion and understanding, you're not excusing the behavior, but you're coming at it with love. I tell you, that's when you'll really be a child of the Heavenly Father. Because I'm telling you right now, He makes His rain to go upon the just and the unjust. He gives gifts even to the wicked. Church, the Lord is saying, I promise you, a new mind. I promise you a new heart. I can do this for you. And church, I want to just conclude by saying a couple of things. First of all, I'm a witness. I'm a witness that the Lord can begin this work. And I hope I'm not the only witness in here. But I want you to know I used to be a lot more thin-skinned, egotistical, bitter, and man, someone comes at me, I got to get back at them. fearful, anger. I used to struggle a lot with my anger. And you know what? There were reasons I was angry. But the Lord has begun that healing process. And I don't struggle a lot with anger anymore. I'm like anybody. I get annoyed if I can't find my darn keys. I'm not trying to boast, church. I'm just telling you what the Lord has done for me. See, these are not just slogans in this beautiful word we've heard today. These are realities. And the Lord is doing this work. Has anyone here begun to discover victory over your anger? Victory over being so easily hurt and upset by what people say? And you can't boast in that. Your flesh didn't do that. You know your flesh didn't do it. That's just God. It's just Jesus in you. If you see me try to love my neighbor, it's just Jesus in me. If you see me let go of the hurts and the past, that's not me. That's just Jesus in me. Jesus is doing this. So I'm a witness, and I hope I got some other witnesses in here. Now, I may not be what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. Amen? Then to bring it back to the final point where we began, it ends with me. All the violence, the anger, the getting back, where the devil gets two for the price of one, that's going to stop with me. It ends with me. I don't have to do all that stuff because the Lord is in my life. And the Lord is changing my heart. And I have a source of dignity that is not based on what other people think or say or do. It's rooted in the reality of who God is. Some people say, man, this is foolish talk. I'm going to be a doormat. I'm going to be abused. I am going to be used. Well, listen, all I have to say to you is I want you to put something on my tombstone when I die. I'm not planning on doing that anytime soon. But if something happens and I die, I want you to put something on my tombstone. Monsignor Charles E. Pope, fool for Christ. Because this text says from the second reading today, don't be deceived. If anyone among you thinks that you are wise in a worldly sort of a way, let him become a fool and then really become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. What's the wisdom of this world? Get back. Take what's yours. Don't let anyone push you around. And so on. The wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. If you want to be really wise, you better become a fool to this world. So I pray that I will be worthy of the title when I die, Fool for Christ. This is all the work of God, church. I don't know about you, but I'm counting on God to pull this off. Because otherwise my flesh is just going to take care of myself and I'm going to get back at people. But the Lord can give me a new heart. And the Lord wants us to be on the field and turning the ball back against Satan and moving the ball in the right direction. Listen, there's a song that says, you see, the Lord wants to transform us and help us as transformed human beings to change this world. There's a song that says this. Lord, you gave me hands to reach out to man, to show your love and your perfect plan. You gave me ears so I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners but cannot wipe away their tears. Lord, you gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing your praise to those who've never heard. And with my eyes, I see a need for more availability. I see hearts that have been broken, so many people to be set free. Lord, I'm available to you. See, Lord, I want it to stop with me. I want it to end with me. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say to do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enabling me to stay. My soul rages empty, and I am available to you. Lord, I want it to end with me. I'm available. Lord, make use of me. Change me. Give me this new heart. I'm available, Lord. I'm available. Amen.